another wonderful day to serve you, to honor and glorify your name. We pray that you would, the Holy Spirit would take what is taught and that we would take and apply it to our lives and grow in your grace and knowledge in Christ's name. Amen. Well, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with thy getting, get understanding, Proverbs 4, verse 7 says. So turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. Begin our study this evening, and we're going to be looking at the first three verses of Proverbs. Just as each one of us need food in our for our physical bodies to maintain our strength and just all the function of the body, we all need spiritual food on a consistent basis to grow in God's grace and knowledge. We want to be consistent in class. We want to be glad to come here. We should be. The general function of Proverbs, and we'll categorize them in three main points. The three main points we'll define, or the three points or thrusts of Proverbs. Thrust number one, the emphasis is on mental attitude. The number one thrust of Proverbs is mental attitude. The Proverbs give us divine viewpoint, which can help develop the mind of Christ in believers. The way Christ thinks is the way we want to operate. As we study the scriptures, we learn the mind of Christ. We can learn and apply them to each and every situation in life. You've heard the saying, you're not what you think you are, but what you think you are. And a lot of times that's what we do when you're alone, when you're by yourself, what you think when you're in a situation where no one's around, what you're thinking, the real you comes out. Our pastor's touched on this a couple times in the last year. Do we put on a big facade when we're around other people? We just put on a dog. The Pharisees were real good at this. The Bible speaks of the Pharisees when they were fasting, they would grimace their face to so everybody could see, to make everybody see how they were suffering. They would do real long prayers in public and stuff to try to make everybody think they're how holy they were, but in private, you know, that's where the real you comes out. We try to be holy in front of people, quoting scripture, holding our Bible a certain way, like our pastor talks about, or singing real loud in the church, and then you leave church and you go home and you get on the internet and start taking in some internet porn, you know, when you think nobody can see. But the Bible speaks in Proverbs 15, verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. There's no way you can hide from God. Lots of verses in Scripture that speak of this. James 4, 17 says to resist the devil and he will flee from you. Or maybe when we're all alone, we are applying God's word. We're taking God's principles that we've learned in class and applying them to each situation in life, and we have the proper mental attitude, the right mental attitude of thinking the mind of Christ. This is what we want to do. That's the first thrust or point in Proverbs we're going to be studying, is mental attitude. Thrust number two, the emphasis is divine norms and standards, or what we use as a model or pattern for ourselves in the Christian way of life. The divine viewpoint in Proverbs develops within us as believers discernment and objectivity, the knowledge of right and wrong. The divine viewpoint in Proverbs develops within us as believers discernment and objectivity, the knowledge of right and wrong. Thrust number three, emphasis, overt activity. This is the activity that everyone can see. In mental attitude sends you, unless you can read human body language real good, it's hard to tell what somebody's thinking, but overt activity, that's the what everybody can see what's going on. Giving somebody the finger going down the road, it'd be overt activity. But not divine activity, it's YSR. It's the only thing I could think of. It's just Kurt told me that, you know, he's no. Okay. The Proverbs give divine viewpoint to establish divine norms and standards to govern overt activities in the believer. The doctrine we have in residency, will, and we take it and apply it, it will govern what we do in our overt activities. These activities will be pleasing to the Lord and will edify us and others. So these three categories we just spoke of, these are kind of, will condense down and combine the whole book of Proverbs, and as we get into the study, we'll start learning more about each one, and we'll just start with right now in Proverbs chapter 11. Let's look at the thrust number one, mental attitude, in Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, and with the lowly or humble is wisdom. Proverbs 11, verse 2. Thrust number two, divine norms and standards, Proverbs 11, verse 3. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. And thrust number three, overt activity, 11, verse 1. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. We'll get into these as we go along. We'll start with the first thrust, mental attitude. The aim of the first thrust is to create and develop in the believer the mind of Christ, a godly mental attitude. 1 Corinthians 2:16 and John 1:1 teaches that the Bible is the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5 gives the order, let this mind be in you which is also in Christ Jesus. Now, as we start to take in doctrine and start developing the mind of Christ, we'll build up a frame of reference and which can be used to combat these mental attitude sins that plague us. And I was called up less because I wanted some computer terminology last night, and I'm not a computer wizard. I can receive email, is about it. But I can send some with success, but I want to use the computer screen because the computer screen, it kind of sets up a picture of our memory center and our frame of reference. And if we have no doctrine in our soul, our computer screen's gonna be blank like this. When a situation comes up and you need some pertinent doctrine, and if you don't have anything in your soul to go to, this is what your computer screen is going to look like. As we learn doctrine and develop a frame of reference, we'll start filling up those, and we'll start creating those icons that go across the screen and down the sides and stuff, and this is what we'll draw on. It's like the Holy Spirit will take, and he'll take the mouse, and he'll come up and click on this icon and draw it down and to that launching pad, then we can shoot it out to the situation we need. So as we walk through life and the circumstances and details of life start to weigh down on us, we can react in two ways. We can react in God's way, plus R, or man's way, human good, or minus R. We have that decision. We want to develop the mind of Christ so we can make the proper decision at the right time. The more doctrine we have in our memory center, the best, better off we, better shape that we'll be in. So, like I said, when there's no doctrine in your memory center, that computer screen's black. There's blank. There's nothing to draw on. Well, let's say you're witnessing to someone, and that someone, you know, says, "Well, you know, I've been pretty good in my life," and so you're thinking of a good response, and so here you look up in your memory center, and this is what your memory center looks like. So without any good divine viewpoint to give them, you'll kind of go to your best shot, and you'll say, "Well, my mom says it never hurts to pray," or you'll come up with something like, "Well, God helps those who help themselves." And so, you know, some people think that's in the Bible, but it's just a man's idea. And so this is the way it is. It just stays blank. But if you start using, as you start creating icons by verse memorization or the doctrine we learn here on a consistent basis, that person will ask you, "Well, I've been kind of good and stuff." And so the first thing you're going to start doing is, here you got an icon here, and it's Romans 3:23 for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you can go up and click on this and bring it down. Or maybe you got Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Or maybe you got Isaiah 64:6, for your all is an unclean thing, and we all do fade as a leaf, all our righteousness is filthy rags. And then you on and on. So you got all this stuff in your memory center, your frame of reference to come up on, and you could just, as it just fills up and the Holy Spirit can take, and it goes page after page, and you can just go up and draw this information, bring it down, and use it. So now, when we talk about overt sins and mental attitude sins, I like to use illustrations, and one of the illustrations I came up with was Gary and his business. He has problems with some of his employees sometimes, and let's say that this guy comes in, and the guy's been a loser the whole time he's worked at Gary's shop, and he's late for the umpteenth time, and he comes in, and Gary says, "What's the problem?" He says, "Well, I'm late, but, you know, that's just the way the cookie crumbles." You know, he gets some bizarre response. And so Gary, he can look at him and say, "You know, why did I hire this idiot in the first place? And, you know, I'd really like to kill this person there." And so he can start thinking all these mental attitude sins. And as we start sinning, have you ever seen a chain smoker lighting a cigarette off the end of another one and stuff? This is the way, once you get the ball going, you can start chain sinning, and you can work yourself into a frenzy like sharks and stuff. And it's just one sin after another, just bam, 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 it just keeps going. And pretty soon you're so far out of it, you can't remember all the sins you have been committing. And so you fall back on 1 John 1:9 and to get back in fellowship so you can make the proper decisions. Now, as Gary's sitting behind the desk, and this guy, he's giving him all his excuses and stuff, Gary can start thinking, you know, he draws on his memory center, like 1 John 4:8, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And so Gary starts operating on divine viewpoint, and he thinks to himself, "Lord, maybe I can witness to this guy. You know, he's just really got a lot of problems in life. And Lord, just, you know, give me a chance or some way to witness this person." And so he draws up on that memory center and draws down John 3:16 or Romans 1:16 or anything, any kind of verse that can convey the gospel and some divine viewpoint to help this guy out. And I've seen Gary do this. In fact, I've seen Gary... he had a real loser working for him, and Gary told me, he said, "You know, not only was this person on the verge of getting fired, he was going to hell too, you know, so it's kind of a double jeopardy." You remember that guy? But I don't think you told him that, did you? Or maybe in so many words you did. Yeah. So as we continue our study, we'll find out that Proverbs repeatedly gives us the business, the raspberries for mental attitude sin. There's hundreds of verses in the Proverbs that deal with mental attitude sins, the kind that we think when just in our minds that nobody else knows about, but God knows about them because God looks on our hearts. Now, legalism is a substitute for Christianity. This is believers adding things to God's word. Another thing the Pharisees were real good at was adding the laws on top of God's laws, their own, and which would pervert the law, and just they were all messed up. And usually the legalist, he'll try to get you to conform to what his ideal standard of spirituality is in his own mind, and it's usually something that he has no problem in his old sin nature with. It's not one of his trends, and or something that he's given up that he wants you to give up. It's just conform to their lifestyle, and they get the mental attitude sin of pride because they have given up those cigars or that drinking or sex or outside of marriage or anything, and so the pride is the biggest mental attitude sin is stated in the Bible, and pride can lead to dozens of other sins too. They can lead to vindictiveness and envy, jealousy, you name it. And as these mental attitude sins come out, inevitably they'll lead to tongues, sins of the tongue, which is gossip and maligning and dozens of others. The Pharisees, in their pride and in their, with them falling on all their religions right down to the letter, and with all the ones they've made up and stuff, the Pharisee in the Bible, he says, you know, he's praying, Father, I'm thanking you, I'm not like other men, these, you know, adulterers or extortioners or this, even this publican, you know. So he's real proud about it, and the Lord says they have their reward. You know, when people think how holy they are, how holy they are for praying long sentences and stuff, well, he says that they get the reward because they don't get any divine reward from that. So God is looking for those who can control their thought pattern first, but pride is the chief perverter of the thought pattern. God is looking for those who can control their thought pattern first, but pride is the chief perverter of the thought pattern. We must learn through the filling of the Holy Spirit to use doctrine first to avoid these mental attitude sins. Pride being the chief perverter of the thought pattern is also the chief initiator of chain sinning, like the point I made before, including envy, jealousy, vindictiveness, which leads to sins of the tongue, gossip, maligning, judging, on and on. Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame or dishonor. Dishonor to God and dishonor to the believer. Dishonor comes to God when the believer assumes the lie of self-sufficiency apart from God's grace. Dishonor comes to God when the believer assumes the lie of self-sufficiency apart from God's grace. Dishonor comes to the believer because pride destroys the MO of the believer, and you're not, can't be filled with the Spirit when you're full of pride. And so the mental attitudes in pride will keep us from being filled with the Spirit, destroys our MO in the Christian way of life. So you can tell a lot about the mind of someone when you listen to them talk as you, they go on and on. You can tell what's really in their thoughts. And in the many writings in the Bible of our Lord and all that he spoke in the Gospels and stuff, as you read what he said, you see the mind of Christ. And Christ was never exhibiting mental attitude sins, and was always exhibiting grace. Verse 2 again, when pride cometh, then cometh dishonor, but with the humble is wisdom. God always recognizes humility, as seen in 1 Peter 5:5. God always recognizes humility. It says, be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5:5. Now, we might ask, or someone might ask, the question, how can a man be humble who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. John 14:6. Well, whoever has a problem with this verse does not understand the word humility, or a thing about being humble in the first place, because humility goes hand in hand with honesty. Humility goes hand in hand with honesty. Humility recognizes one's achievements as well as one's failures. Humility recognizes that one's achievements as well as one's failures. Thirdly, humility recognizes that God leads and motivates. Humility recognizes that God leads and motivates. Now, if a humble believer recognizes his success in one area, he's not automatically going to assume that he's better than all believers because he's so hot in this one area. Because in humility and honesty go hand in hand. He'll recognize that he is what he is or isn't because of the grace of God. So let's read 1 Corinthians 15:10. 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than them all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Shows that pretty much anything that we do is, you know, anything that we can do is because of the grace of God. God's given us the brains to do it, the strength to do it, the talent. As the people were, Israelites were building the temple, and they didn't have the talent to do a particular task, the Holy Spirit gave them the talent to do it. And that's the way we should be. Each of us, when we go to work, we should thank the Lord for the strength to do it, the talent to do it. Everything comes from him, you know, our health. That's what we should be thankful for. So Paul thanks the Lord for the accomplishments, as we should, and moves on to the next phase of his life. Just be thankful for what the Lord has given you and what he did, is because what we are is by his grace. Philippians 3:13-14. Let's go there. Philippians 3:13-14. Now verse 12 says, not as though I had already attained, either were ready, already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended by Christ Jesus. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press on to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We see Paul doesn't compare himself to others because others don't comprise a standard or make up a standard. God's leading makes the standard in our lives, the standard of the norms and standards. God is the ultimate standard that we have to follow. Pride, on the other hand, exalts itself at the expense of others. Pride, on the other hand, exalts itself at the expense of others. So Jesus Christ is showing humility with honesty as he reveals himself as the one and only Savior for our benefit. He just reveals himself as the one and only Savior for our benefit. Truth is not pride. Christ never advanced himself through falsehood or by debasing others. Christ never advanced himself through falsehood or by debasing others. So wisdom, the knowledge of God's word, helps us to recognize the folly of mental attitude sins. Wisdom, God's knowledge, helps us to recognize the folly of mental attitude sins. When we begin to restrain mental attitude sins from our thought pattern, we are free to develop the mind of Christ. You keep your mind clear of mental attitude sins. You keep yourself filled with the Spirit and keep those short accounts, because as we grow in God's grace and knowledge of his word, we'll find that you can tell when you're out of fellowship a lot easier than you can when you're an immature believer. You recognize what sins are, and you'll know how important it is to keep short accounts. And as we keep short accounts, then we're free to take in his word, develop the mind of Christ, and the Lord's thoughts, the thought pattern of grace and love. So wisdom equals proper mental attitude, which is in harmony with divine viewpoint. Wisdom equals proper mental attitude, which is in harmony with divine viewpoint. Now, if our pastor's not teaching next week, we'll start on the second thrust of Proverbs, divine norms and standards. And we'll explain that in detail next Tuesday. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for this time, and we pray that we would take your word and apply it in our lives and live our lives as you intended it to. Take us home safely now in Christ's name. Amen. Now remember, as the coins, the witnessing coins and the tracts are in the back of the church. If you keep forgetting to pick them up, they're in the track slot back there. There's lots of these left, so hand them out to your friends.